This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Noel Lim. 7:35 a.m, which means that in about half an hour, we're having the breakfast grill where I'll be speaking with Dato' Lee Kim Miao, Managing Director of Top Glove. Now, Top Glove recorded a year like no other as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spur demand for gloves from the world's largest glove producer. But the question here for everyone is this whopping growth sustainable? Tune in later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin to find out. But right now, we're turning our attention overseas to the US, where you might have heard that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a champion for women's rights and a liberal icon, passed away last Friday at the age of 87.
And what ensued quite immediately, actually, after her passing was a political discord over who should succeed her. There are 9 Supreme Court seats. Currently, 5 are Republicans and 3 are Democrats, with 1 vacant seat. And President Donald Trump says he would like to nominate a successor by the weekend. If he succeeds, that's still an if at the moment, it would tilt the ideological balance further to the right, possibly for decades ahead. Because here's the thing, appointments to the Supreme Court are a big deal since they are lifetime appointments, and lately they've been appointing younger justices to the court. So naturally, the Democrats and even some Republicans are not taking this sitting down.
So for more on this, this morning we're speaking with Catherine Dunn-Tenpas, Senior Fellow at the Miller Center of Public Affairs at the University of Virginia. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. Now, the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg seems to tilt the Supreme Court further to the right. What does this mean for some highly contentious bills like the Affordable Care Act, for example? And what are some of the others at stake?
Yes, well, it definitely jeopardizes the Affordable Care Act. I think you could look to environmental regulations, immigration. You can always pick any issue area, and you can find that it will be at odds with what passed during the Obama administration. It will truly change things for decades to come.
There's been a lot of arguments between the Democrats and Republicans about this Supreme Court seat. What are the merits and problems of filling the seat so close to the elections?
Well, it's interesting because in 2016, it was a vacancy and President Obama nominated a man by the name of Merrick Garland. And rather than proceed with the nomination process, the Republicans controlled the Senate. And it was also run by Mitch McConnell at the time as the majority leader. And he said that he was unwilling to consider the nomination of Merrick Garland because there was a forthcoming election that November. Now, you fast forward 4 years later, and there is another vacancy. And rather than adhere to the same policy that he clarified in 2016, he has completely done a 180 and said, no, it's okay to go ahead and confirm a Supreme Court nominee in the year of an election, and when an election is less than 60 days away. So it's a complete reversal. A lot of people say, well, the difference is, you know, whatever the majority is in the Senate, they're the ones that are able to control. And the Republicans control the Senate, so they made that decision in 2016, and they still control the Senate. And so they've decided to go ahead and let President Trump nominate an individual to the Supreme Court. A lot of unhappy people, as you might imagine, because people think that they have gone back on their word. They have senators like Lindsey Graham and other senators who, in 2016, said the exact opposite of what they're saying now.
That aside, are you supportive of filling the seat now? Should the seat be filled now, or should we wait for the elections to be over?
Well, generally speaking, I would say that, you know, whenever there's a vacancy, you need to fill the seat because there's an ongoing caseload and the Supreme Court needs to function with 9 instead of 8. However, this is sort of a unique circumstance given what happened in 2016. Do I think they will go ahead and do it? Absolutely. I'm sure that they will fill it. I'm sure there'll be a vote. I think ideally they want there to be a vote before the election. In case somehow the election comes down to very close votes and we have what happened in 2001 and they need the Supreme Court to intervene, they want to make sure that they have 6 justices that they think will be on their side instead of 5.
Now, Democrats are concerned that a Republican nominee would significantly tilt the ideological balance of the court for decades to come, making it 6-3 in favor of Republicans. Is there a precedent for such an imbalance here?
That's a really good question. There have been presidents and there have been examples where Republican presidents have nominated individuals to the bench, but they have then turned out to be more liberal. So Justice Brennan is one example. More recently, President George H.W. Bush appointed David Souter to the court. And over time, his decisions were not necessarily what you would consider to be sort of conservative decisions. He was more towards the middle. I think you could say the same for Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. She kind of tended to move to the middle. And so what happens is when you get this lifetime appointment, it doesn't mean that you are then tethered to the president who appointed you. you can do whatever you want to do with your decisions, provided you have good behavior and don't lose your seat. So they are really free. In a way, they're like tenured professors to some extent. They are free to make the decisions the way that they believe is best and fairest. And so there are a number of examples in our history where justices have acted independently of the presidents who have appointed them. The difference this time, I think, is that President Trump has appointed more ideologically pure nominees, such that I would suspect that they will be less likely to waver in their conservatism. Whereas, and over time, the country has become more polarized and sort of more ideological pure, so that I suspect that going forward, there is less, probably less capacity for them to waver in their decisions. Having said that, you never know. I think people wouldn't have expected that Chief Justice Roberts would be the swing vote on certain cases. And so ultimately, you never know. But I do understand the concern that a lot of the Democrats have about a 6-3 pretty solid majority.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Catherine. That was Catherine Dantempis of the University of Virginia, shedding some light on the current political struggle to fill the vacant seat on the Supreme Court that was vacated after the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away last Friday. And I think the point that Catherine makes at the end there is one that has to be stressed. In the U.S. particularly, the justice system is very independent, and it doesn't. And just because some of the justices are stated Republicans or Democrats doesn't necessarily mean they will vote in line with the party.
I think that's a very good example that she used, right? Justice Roberts, who was technically on the right-leaning side of things, but has voted liberal in the past. And basically, once you're appointed, you can do whatever you want, as long as you, I think, don't break the law and things like that. What she pointed out was a concern was that the nominees that Trump has picked so far are more ideologically sound. They have a stronger ideological identity, and that's going to inform your bias no matter what. I don't know whether we can expect Justice Roberts is the best case scenario, right? I don't know whether we can expect it to be the standard going forward.
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court does play a really important role. They are a check and balance, right? And for example, in 2000, they decided the outcome of the presidential elections between George Bush and Al Gore. Rest was history. So, we are heading towards a very contentious elections, and the Supreme Court may have a role to play there.
So Trump has said that he's going to choose a woman to fill the vacant seat. And there are names being bandied about like Amy Coney Barrett, as well as Barbara Lagoa. But we'll be watching for the decision very closely and bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. Right now, we have some messages. And then up next, speaking with Nurul Izzah Anwar, MP for Pematang Pauh, about women's representation in politics. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.